Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Specht.
Hello.
Derek, it is summer.
So, yes, we are well into summer now, at least a week or two-ish.
See, my summer, when I look at seasons, when I think summer, June, July, August, September.
Yeah.
So we're already a quarter of the way through summer.
According to
my calendar, yes, which everybody calendar. Should use.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know why they're not.
As soon as you hit June, that's summer for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's when the...
Tripping season starts.
And then kind of the way the weather's going, we can start counting May as summer now. Because we get some...
Have you used your air conditioner yet?
Yes.
Mine's still covered. And I was asked, can we put the air conditioning on? No, I am not putting the air conditioning on in June. I don't care that the cat is melting.
No, I turned it on. I think there was a bit of a heat wave in May that we turned it on for.
Then that long ago?
Yeah, and then we turned it off for a bit. And then it's been going pretty regularly all June.
Wow.
The house gets hot. It's an older constructed home built in the 70s, so...
Oh, so it doesn't have windows that you can open to let the air flow through.
But only at night. And there for a good portion of June, like we were seeing like 20, 22 degrees at night, right?
Yeah.
And so the air conditioning, it cuts the humidity. That's where the comfort factor
is. That's where it kills you is the humidity. When I lived out west in the prairies, you had the heat, but you didn't have this sticky humidity.
It's a dry heat. Like Vegas.
It's a dry heat.
When you go to Vegas, it's a dry heat.
And you know what? I mean, it's a little bit of a cliche joke. It's not the heat so much as the humidity.
Which is true.
But 100%. It is. I mean, when you get that humidity going.
If you can't evaporate the sweat off your skin, you're not cooling yourself.
Yeah.
And so your internal temperature builds up and you're all wet and sticky. And
when you're kicking the dog out of the dog pool so that you can lay in it.
Get out of the pool. I'm getting in there.
Yeah, it's been like that, but I've been so busy doing other things recently, though.
Oh, yeah?
We got Tracy's mom all moved in.
And you're digging stumps. I keep seeing postings about stumps.
I have dug out 8 stumps now from our... Because we're doing the big yard cleanup and renovation and gardens and you name it, right? So we had a bunch of trees that have been cut down over the years, and if we... figure, you know, it's time to get these stumps out.
Yeah.
So I dug two apple tree stumps out, 2 lilac tree stumps out. We called it the fire bush because we'd have no clue what it was, but it had all these red fire looking flower thingies once a year, and they're just getting all bushy and whatnot. And there was a cedar that was causing problems. So we just dug out, I was just digging out one at a time, and I went to do it last year, but, last year was one of those ones, I'm going to do it on the weekend. And then the weekend comes, thunderstorms predicted today. Yeah. So I went home. Like every time I had a free weekend to do it, it was always raining. So this year I was doing I'm going to come home from work. I'm going to do an hour or two, see if I can get most of one out. And so over a couple of days, I'd get one big stump out.
And you get light till shortly after 9.
So that's perfect now. So I did a tally. Sean, 8. Stumps, 2.
So what 2 stumps won over you?
The lilac bush in the backyard.
How did it win?
It broke my shovel.
Oh,
so I was using under the roots to
prying it. You're using the shovel as a pry bar.
Yeah, it was just one of those little hand garden.
Little trowel.
Trowel thingy, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it broke in half.
Mm-hmm.
And previous gardener won because there's this hook thing that I found because I was using my axe, right? And I keep my axe sharp and like chip-free and
dug into
everything.
A chunk of metal or something.
And there was it's like 2 giant hooks with loops. Picture 2 fish hooks, 2 single fish hooks, and then a figure 8 between the 2 of them. What? So you could use them like nunchucks. But I mean, each hook was like a foot long. Somebody says they might have been used for like tree hooks or I have no idea.
Huh.
And they said, oh, they're probably left there from when the farmers were here. Well, no, that was like, they would have dug all this up while they were building the neighborhood, right? Yeah. Anyway, I have no idea. Anyway, I was cutting through some of the roots And I hear this tang, and then I pull out this big metal thing, and my axe has a chip out of the blade. Not impressed. And then I finally got the last one out yesterday, and it was heavy. Oh. So I laid my wheelbarrow on the side,
yeah,
sort of push it in, and managed to tip it all up.
Yeah,
because there's no way I'm carrying that by myself.
Yeah,
and I'm, all right, it's in. So all I have to do is wheel it to where I've piled the other stumps because I'm going to take them out of the transfer station. Right, I grab the handle, I lift up. One of the handles on the wheelbarrow broke. Stump two. So it is now laying at the side of my house, not joining the other stumps. So yeah, that was fun. But no, you know, it's one of those things. We've been spending so much time over the years, like going out camping and canoeing and all that, and all these little things just build up where eventually you've got to get it done.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is sort of the year and whatnot. So, yeah, so that's all I've been doing lately, moving people and
yeah,
digging up stumps. And I'm so disappointed. There wasn't even a hint of a body. Nothing.
There are no bones in my backyard.
Right? I'm disappointed. What kind of neighborhood is this?
It's always, would be interesting to get a metal detector to see what you can find. Who knows?
Well,
buried Roman treasure, doubloons and coins and whatever.
Ooh, the treasure of Oak Island in Sean's backyard, because there was a little bit of a divot under one of the trees.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, maybe there's a Cold War era bunker buried back there somewhere.
Yeah, this was all farmer's field at one point. So if anything, I'm going to find like a dead horse buried with his bridle and everything on.
What year was your house built?
84 or something. Oh, wow. Like that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. These are older houses here.
Well, but, not that old.
Well, no, but I mean, older than the new division north of us.
My current house was built in the early 70s. I don't know what year.
Really?
Yeah. It's got aluminum wiring.
Oh. You might want to replace that.
No, they say it's safe. It's perfectly fine to use it, but it's where the
sure.
No, they said it's perfectly safe. It's just that it reacts differently when you wire it to modern components. You have to have a transition thing to go from the aluminum that they call them pigtails, and you hook it up to the light switch because the light switches don't like aluminum because aluminum is too soft, and so it'll start to spark and loosen.
Do you know how fires start?
Yes, that's why you have to use the pigtails. So right now all of the fittings and all of the switches and everything are like 30 years old in the house, so they're all made for aluminum, and I can't replace them until I figure out what these pigtails are.
Excellent. Oh, owning a house, so joyful.
I know.
So much to do. But, I mean, you can only let stuff go for so long before you're finally tired of looking at it and going, you know what, I got to dig up all those stumps.
It's time.
But let me tell you, that pickaxe, if anybody needs to learn the art of digging up a stump, drop me a line. I'll tell you. I know exactly how to do it.
But, professional.
I'm a professional dump puller guy now. Well, everybody's saying just drill it, light it on fire. Other people say drill a hole in the top and you put vinegar and I think not Epsom. Yeah, it was Epsom salt, I think.
Yeah.
And then it goes down to the roots and it rots the roots. And which, yeah, totally beats my original theory of just piling a lot of dirt on top and raising our garden about 6 feet. Hey, always looking for things to do, right?
Arborists have these stump grinders they can bring in.
Yeah, that's cheating. That's cheating. Oh, we are two cherry trees out back there. The roots are now, like, gotten so big, there are a couple spots they're above ground.
Oh.
And, like, that just sucks when you're trying to mow your lawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Zing! Yeah.
Hit it again. See
what happens there. But, anyway, that's all I've been doing.
Hmm.
I need to get out and do some paddling soon because I'm
going me too.
Going through a bit of withdrawal. Everybody else, we're down at the Rotary Park there yesterday, Canada Day and all that. Oh, yeah, and if you're listening to this right now, July 4th, all our U.S. friends down there.
So we just experienced Canada Day on Monday, and now we're coming up on July 4th on Thursday. So Happy holiday week.
Happy holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Setting off fireworks. Some kid, I think, almost blew his hand off outside our house last night.
Yeah,
because there's three of them afterwards. Apparently, I guess he threw it the last second and almost hit a car.
Oh. What is he throwing?
Little cherry bombs, I guess. I don't know.
You're not even allowed to have those, not
like,
I think.
Not like the good old days where we used to have Roman candle fights. I mean, at least we were smart about it. Hold something that's that launches it away from you, doesn't blow up.
Yeah, exactly.
Kids these days just don't understand.
Just don't get the fun.
Oh, man. So we got a few things to talk about tonight. Because apparently, you know, we're not doing anything else. You're going away.
I am.
You're going on a bike tour.
I is. Yeah. Oh, geez, I got to remember to find my passport. I'm going down through the States.
Are you really?
I keep forgetting to find my passport. Let me...
You know what? I'll talk.
You talk.
And you can, like, I have to write yourself notes.
No, I have to text my wife. Where's my passport? Yeah?
Where is my passport? And she's going to tell you. I'll tell you where your passport is. And I'll tell you what you can do with your passport and where you can shove it. That's going to be her response. You want to lay money on it? That's her response.
Yeah. She has a spot for them. She keeps all the passports, so.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we do. And then we all forget where the spot is. Probably in a box somewhere.
Well, I know the box. I know in the closet, but I don't know if I put it back in the box from the last time I used it.
It's probably still in your glove compartment.
Maybe.
Could very well be. It's under the seat. So you were talking about this thing last week.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
There's
Ravi
a fella.
Ravi Thacker.
So he takes away paddlers' pain points with self-serve kayak stations. The paddle station serves about 15,000 people each summer along the banks of the Bow River and is TripAdvisor's second most popular outdoorsy activity to do in Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Calgary, Alberta. Good old Cowtown.
So that's amazing. He's an immigrant into mm-hmm. Canada, and so he went and got himself his... he's an MBA graduate, whatever, but
yeah.
he wanted to start his own business. And
yeah.
And he's doing really well with this.
He's
doing fantastic.
Yeah, 2017, he launched his boat rental company. Outdoor enthusiasts in Calgary know how much fun it is to float down the Bow River in summer, but also know the hassles. And we run into that in Toronto here too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Vehicle drop-offs, renting a kayak or a raft, buying mandatory life jackets, emergency kits, hoisting the boat up to the top of the vehicle, finding a place to park, dragging the vessel to shore, and doing it all again after you finish.
And depending on what you're doing and how you set up your lifestyle, that's not easy to do.
Right? He says this takes some of the fun out of what should be a relaxing time with friends and family. And after he bought water vessels for the family a couple years ago, he purchased kayaks in Calgary to enjoy with his family, but the inconvenience of transporting them, the stress of wondering if they'd fall off during the drive, and a fluttering strap that nearly hit his son in the eye made him question his purchase. Well, and there's all that. I mean, even to this day, like when I start out on a trip, I mean, I've been tying canoes on my truck for like 30 years.
Yeah.
To this day, I always sit there and watch and wait and listen for noises as I start driving.
Yeah.
And then, it's any little jiggle or something weird, I pull right over. Because you still have, and the minute you lose that paranoia, you know something's going to happen.
Exactly, right? Yeah. why is it so quiet up there all of a sudden? Did I lose a canoe?
Right? Hey, why is that one strap flapping like that? The experience gave the self-described serial entrepreneur the seeds of a business idea called Paddle Station, which he introduced in the summer of 2017. He hopes to one day expand across the province and country, but with automated self-serve stations, and we've talked about those mm-hmm. before. It would be comparable to a car share, but for kayaks. And see, that'd be pretty cool that you could start at one spot, paddle to another.
Mm-hmm.
Drop the canoe, the kayak off.
It was the same business, exactly. Yeah. So, hey, this rack is empty, so I'm going to do a point A to point B trip instead mm-hmm. of a loop trip and leave it at the next one.
And then just hop back on the bus or whatever.
Which is sort of like what you see with all these rental bikes downtown and those rental scooters and stuff.
Oh, they got those in Ajax now.
Yeah, and they end up laying everywhere, right?
Yep, yep. Though there are several Bow River boat rental operations in Calgary, Paddle Station offers something different. Stations along the river's edge at Shouldis Park and ending at St. Patrick's Island. Unlike competitors, it provides over 150 vessels from kayaks, stand-up paddle boards, and rafts for self-guided or guided floats. By Canada Day 2017, the tide started to turn and his company began garnering dozens of positive reviews on TripAdvisor and favorable local media coverage, not to mention 200 to 600 users per day on weekends. Could you imagine 600 people renting a kayak on a weekend?
I know, right?
Every weekend?
That's a lot of inventory.
He also organized a pride float the weekend of August 25th that attracted more than 800 people, with some of the money going to a good cause. That season ended approximately 20,000 happy customers.
That's impressive.
That is huge. Mm-hmm. In 1 year?
Yeah.
Now he's got in line with the company's mandate to create a seamless and hassle-free rental experience for all the customers. They announced that their new app will be rolling out very soon. He says, we've developed this app out of the necessity to improve the way our online booking system and rental service works, but also to give our customer peace of mind when they float down the bow with us. At Paddle Station, your safety and comfort are the utmost important to us. So we have created this app with a quick map service that allows the customer to reach out to us as quickly as possible. This is not only essential in emergency situations, but also allows us to keep count of how many vessels are on the water and when to expect the customers to arrive at the finish line. If you're a new customer, our map feature will also help direct you to the finish line at St. Patrick's Island near the zoo, where you return the stand-up paddleboard, kayak, or raft, which is perfect, right?
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, if you can... And you know what? It's almost the same sort of thing as... there's the parking app in Toronto where it shows all the spots to park and you can go there and everything's done by the app. You can, you know, your
simplified
spot and everything
service,
like that.
Yeah.
Their website says, welcome to our premier rafting company where adventure meets safety on the stunning Bow River nestled at the near majestic Rocky Mountains. Embark on an unforgettable journey as you float down the pristine waters, surrounded by breathtaking vistas, views of downtown Calgary, and untamed wilderness. Our top priority is your safety, ensuring that every moment spent on the river is filled with excitement and peace of mind. From the exhilarating rapids that will make your heart race to the tranquil stretches that allow you to soak in the natural beauty. We promise an experience like no other. Join us for an unparalleled fusion of adrenaline and serenity as you create lasting memories against the backdrop of one of nature's most awe-inspiring landscapes. Hmm. I like that, the unparalleled fusion of adrenaline and serenity. So that's when you're going down the rapids you didn't really want to go down. We're having a great time till we hit the rapids.
It's so beautiful here. What's that in water noise? Yeah, why is it getting louder?
Right? Sounds like a waterfall, doesn't it?
Is the current picking up?
he says, our mission is to promote responsible use of Alberta's pristine rivers and ensure the conservation of our wilderness areas for the continued use of future generations. We are focused on sustainability and place high priority on safety and rider education and have a proactive program of environmental maintenance and route development. So it's like, I mean, once he's got this going, he's sure taken off with it, and he's a lot of pride in what they do. Paddlestation.ca for more info, like boat rentals, pricing, guides, groups, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Sounds pretty good.
It is. Look at this here. I just Googled Bow River, and look at that view.
Been there.
Of the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Been there, done that. Yeah, if you've never paddled out in the Rockies, man, you've got to go.
I've driven through.
Oh, not paddled. Yeah. No, you got to paddle. You got to go paddle in there. So again, paddlestation.ca for more info. Something like this, if you're in Calgary for something,
yeah,
then
they're on business or pleasure or visiting family and friends, go rent a kayak or whatever. Right?
It's a perfect thing to do. West Hansen.
Oh, yes.
We were hoping to be able to touch base with him when he came through because him and Jeff Wiestey just went to Ottawa, pick up a whole bunch of their stuff that was from their
last trip excursion, last.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I guess timing didn't really match up. So, but he's put out a new thingy. I guess they had so much fun doing the Northwest Passage in one season.
Did he lose a part of a finger? He had frostbite on two fingers, a thumb and a finger. Bad frostbite.
I don't know.
He showed pictures of it after the trip, and they were black.
Really?
The fingertips, yeah.
I didn't see that picture.
Yeah. He was standing there in a hotel room, shirtless, commenting on about how much weight he lost, and then he held up a hand, and it showed blackened fingertips. It's like, yikes, that looks fun.
Right?
But it's super cold, right? And that constant
output. I left my heart in San Diego and my fingertips in the Northwest Passage.
Exactly.
Or was it San Francisco? I can't remember.
Yeah, left my heart in San Francisco.
Yeah, left my heart in San Francisco and my fingertips in the Northwest Passage. No, I didn't actually. I totally missed that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he had frostbite.
I wonder, I'll have to talk to him about that. Anyway. So I guess they did have so much fun, or maybe he's going to go back and look for him.
Go back and look for his fingertips, yeah.
But they are now putting out a little invite. The 2025 North by Northwest Passage Kayak Expedition. First kayak expedition through the northern route of the Northwest Passage.
Mm-hmm.
Next year.
Yes.
First recorded transit of this route was by Robert McClure. Robert, hold on, my face just isn't cooperating today. Robert McClure in 1850 to 1853 as part of a search effort for the Franklin Expedition. His ship, the HMS Investigator, was icebound and crushed at Banks Island.
Which is where we want to go.
Right. So the crew made their way east with sledges over land and ice until they met their rescue party. And in 1960, the USS Sea Dragon, one of the first nuclear-powered submarines, was the first submarine to navigate the McClure route. Crew used Edward Perry's 1819 journal as a guide. 1819 to 1960. Holy jumpins. Location, Cape Sherard, Devon Island to Griffiths Point, Prince Patrick Island. The route may be altered depending on sea ice conditions. Expedition leader, West Hansen and Jeff Wiestey. In 2023, West and Jeff led the first human-powered kayak navigation through the entire Northwest Passage. They are also the first to paddle the entire Amazon and Volga rivers from most distant source to the sea. Their expeditions have been ranked as two of the top 10 kayak expeditions of the century thus far. Yeah, pretty cool, eh?
This is really exciting.
Not bad for a carpenter guy.
Yeah, I know, right? I wish I could get 4 months off work.
Right? Oh, no, you need more.
Do they say that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, contingency. Well, like, they expect to take 4 months, but that you have to be ready to stay for five.
Well, and they're doing a couple of training stuff beforehand.
Yes, so,
too, right?
Yeah.
Week-long and
Texas safari.
Well, I'm saying just quit your job and say, I'd like to go on a sabbatical. Can you take a sabbatical for this?
Yeah, my boss.
I wonder if my boss would say, because when I wanted to do that 3 weeks in Woodland Caribou.
Yeah.
So, can I get a month off work? Why? Well, there's this trip that might not come my way ever again. It'd be really, it's like a trip of a lifetime.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I was in negotiations with work when they did this trip last time. I was talking with West, and so I was in negotiations with work to get that much time off, and I didn't make the cut, which was good. Because my boss was humming and hawing. I don't know if we can let you go for that long. I don't know. It's like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yeah, but we need you here, Derek. What happens if something happens?
I'm not that important.
Who are we going to have to blame things on, Derek?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Right? Mr. Worried about That's how he's parked in the parking lot, not that 90% of his car is covered in bird poop. Dates. Pending weather and sea conditions, the team will gather in Ottawa near the end of June to travel together to the launch site. Once at the launch town, the team will complete a gear check and food pack. We will have continuous mission control support, which will post daily updates to designated friends and or family members. I like how he says and or. So you can just do your friends or your family. Or your friends and your family.
Yeah.
I'm not telling my family where I am. It's just my friends.
They're not included.
Yeah. As well as composing a daily public blog. Logistics, daily weather, ice reports, and safety measures will be conducted on a nonstop basis through our support system. Team will have one resupply point at Resolute and potentially an additional resupply point near the end, pending ice conditions. Of course, if it's going to take you longer, you're held up. You're going to need that extra food. The expedition is expected to last 50 to 80 days. Well, that just narrows it down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Team members are required to attend a week-long training session in the Texas coast in January 2025.
So that'll give you an example of what, northern weather? It does get cold in Texas.
That's just knowing how your things are going to work paddling together. I got to think they're going to use the tandem kayaks again.
I would think so.
If that's what worked so well this past year there, then I think they'll be doing that again. Eligible team members will have sea kayaking experience or engage in a training program with regular updates showing progress.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a shout out to you, Derek.
Well, that was why I didn't have a lot of open ocean experience. So that's why
what
I
I'm saying, Derek.
That's why
I didn't make the cut. This is a shout out to you, buddy. start training and getting some progress and show him that you're doing this.
See, I had the cash in hand last time. I don't have cash on hand this time.
Ah, you got two kids selling.
I had $40,000 saved up, ready to go, but that's been spent on the new home. So I don't have any savings now.
We're going to do a GoFundMe page to get Derek's butt on our West Passage. And there'll be extra money if he stays there.
Yes.
Wait a minute. You agreed with that too fast. As with all our expeditions, the priority will be placed on the authority of the people who have lived on this land for centuries for proper permits, customs, and regulations over any other authority. Strict adherence to Canadian Coast Guard regulations will be enforced for all team members. Cost. Please contact for the price and detailed description of the requirements.
If you have to ask, you can't afford it.
Right? Financial obligation includes the training week, all food and gear, except bank clothing, travel to the Arctic from Ottawa, Ontario, and back to Inuvik, Northwest Territories. Expedition does not cover the costs to Ottawa or from Inuvik, or any travel from the expedition in case of unplanned interruptions. To send inquiries and resumes for consideration, go to westhanson.com, click the contact tab, and send him a message if you're interested. West Hansen, HANSEN.com. Send him a message. Dear West, how are you? I am fine. I want to paddle the Northwest Passage.
I'd love to do this, but it's just not in the cards. Everything was almost lined up last time. It could have happened, shoulda, woulda, but
you got to think, if he's doing that one last year, he's doing this one next year.
Yeah.
There's going to be more.
Probably.
So you need to start getting your ducks in a row now so that one day you can go, oh, I've got all this. Let's go. Pitter patter. Yeah. Let's get at her.
Exactly.
Right? What are you waiting for, Derek?
It's not in the cards.
Not today. But in a couple of years.
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe you strike it rich.
Maybe.
Maybe
I'll win the lotto.
Maybe you win a lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And say, you know what? Bring me on and I will pay for two people to join. Because I've won that kind of money.
Excessively generous.
Right? Oh, well, speaking of the North, we'll just keep on the North sort of thing today. Yukon River Quest.
Mm-hmm.
We've been looking at that for a few years now. It started Wednesday, June 26th.
Yes, it was started last week. What, last week? What? Where? I need a calendar.
Calendar's right there.
There we go.
Yeah. However, organizers of the Yukon River Quest cut this year's race short because of wildfires in the Central Territory. The annual long-distance paddling race, which draws competitors from around the world, began in Whitehorse with 74 teams of canoeists, kayakers, stand-up paddleboarders setting off down the Yukon River.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful. All these boats going down, not into the sunset.
Did John Van Berger do the Yukon Quest, or did he do his own independent travel trip?
His own independent.
Yeah. What did he call it? It was
he's trying to get to the Bering.
Yeah.
Right. The race was supposed to run from Wednesday, June 26th to Saturday, June 29th, which would have been this past Saturday. Typically, the race is 715 kilometers or 444-mile haul all the way to Dawson City, Yukon, but organizers announced that this year's race would instead end at Carmax, which is less than halfway to Dawson. It's disappointing, but you know, safety first, said race marshal Stephen Mooney. Organizers said in a statement that the race board made the decision after talking with Yukon government officials about the wildfires near the North Klondike Highway south of Stewart Crossing. Those fires have prompted the closure of the highway, which connects Whitehorse and Dawson, several times over the last week, and on Wednesday an evacuation alert was issued for Stewart Crossing. Mooney said the highway conditions were the main concern for the race organizers. Even if paddlers were safe traveling on the river, organizers were concerned about support vehicles trying to get through the active fire zone. And that would be a big deal because, say they got through, what happens trying to get back out?
Exactly. What if they get trapped? What if they get burned up? There's safety issues.
Yeah. So the decision to halt the race early was actually not that difficult, Mooney says. When you speak to Wildland Fire and they tell you travel between the communities, Pelly Crossing and Stewart Crossing is essential services only, we do not consider this race essential service.
Correct.
Now, I'm sure some of the racers that spent a lot of money coming from the other side of the planet may have a different view on that, where that totally sucks, but
74
safety
teams.
Third, right? Yeah, 74. Well, we've seen before that, but a lot of them are sort of local to that, right?
So that makes up a large portion, but people do travel from all over to
I mean, there was teams from Ontario here that went up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's still a few-day journey and gas money and all that.
And planning and practice and preparation.
Time off work and all that sort of stuff, right? The race had also seen a temporary halt the night before at the north end of Lake LaBarge because of fire activity just downriver from there. Organizers texted 10 teams that were past the lower LaBarge checkpoint to pull off the river and wait. They were then allowed to carry on once Wildland Fire officials determined that the fire downriver had calmed enough for paddlers to safely carry on. Do you remember last year there was that video out where people were on a trip down the river? And the riverbank was totally on fire.
Oh.
There was Instagram or not.
Was it
a TikTok video that was going around?
It was Instagram. I saw it on Instagram. I don't go on.
And they're going through the raft and the banks were just blazing fire, right? The first team, a duo from Ontario in a canoe, arrived at the CarMax checkpoint just before 8 a.m. on Thursday. So it starts Wednesday, 8 a.m. Thursday morning. And by early afternoon, dozens more teams had also arrived. Most of the rest were expected to reach CarMax throughout the afternoon and evening. Organizers said the race times to CarMax would be the final results. And awards were handed out Friday morning.
all the people that were playing on the final push in the final half. It's right? Like, okay, the first half, we take it easy, then we hammer it for the final half. What do you mean there's no final half?
Right. That guy that just took off like a banshee right at the beginning? Yeah, congratulations. Sometimes it does pay off.
Yeah, the guy who didn't know how to pace himself.
Right?
Good thing it's done because I'm dead.
Sometimes the hair does win, turtle. UConn Fire Information Officer Mike Fancy said the decision to end the race early was up to the event organizers. I don't think that it's a fire activity that in and of itself would make it unsafe for paddlers to have to leave the river, Fancy said, but it's obviously up to the River Quest what the risk is that they're willing to tolerate with regards to the race that they are organizing. So it sounds like he's kind of saying, well, you guys really didn't have to pull off the river. But it's not the river people they were worried about.
No,
it was the support crews.
It was support crews, yeah.
Mooney said he's going to encourage some of the visiting racers to make the most of things and maybe spend some time exploring the Southern Territory instead of Dawson City. That's what everybody goes up for. They want to go see Dawson City.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's also hoping for better luck next year after several disruptions to the race in recent years. We had COVID. We've had high water that we've canceled races. You know, I was joking, locusts and frogs maybe next year. But at the end of the day, better be safe than sorry.
Yeah.
Right? So unfortunately, yeah, they had to, because yeah, there's been the flooding, there's been COVID,
yeah,
and there was, now there's the fires.
Yeah. And locusts.
Locusts and frogs next year. Hot diggity. So why aren't you doing the Yukon River Quest? Well,
there's an asteroid,
right? Yeah, there's an asteroid heading right there. Yeah, and could you imagine paying all that money to go do it and then COVID hits?
So yeah,
you turn around, and go home.
Yeah,
you know what? I'll do it next year.
And then there's
flooding. And you go, what's the chances?
Okay, let's take a year or two off. Yeah. We'll come back in 2024.
And fires. So that's what they got to do. They got to check the lists of these 3 years.
Yeah.
And find out who is been doing this the same. And then ban them next year. Because whoever it is, they're bad luck.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying. That's my theory, and you're welcome to
There's
it.
This one dude that tried to go each of the 3 times.
Right? Yeah. Sorry, sir. You can't come back. Thank you for the interest, but...
You are bad luck.
You're bad luck. What are we drinking here tonight?
So this is a... Yeah, I went to Tilted Glass again. It's one of my favorites with Tilted Glass. They used to be called Manantler.
Yeah.
Anyways, this here is... it's their second win, Coffee Blonde Ale.
It has the smell and a bit of taste of dry coffee grounds, like before you make coffee.
Yeah.
When you freshly grind it, and there it's not a top quality bean.
It's a mix of almost, like, because it's cold beer, it's like an iced coffee, like one of those, yeah. It's an iced coffee kind of flavor and taste. I think it's a little bit too strong. I think the coffee should be a hint of coffee and not the main, flavor. So
nice try, Tilted Glass.
Yeah, yeah,
it's an acquired taste.
Yes,
don't want to acquire that taste. If you are in Fredericton, New Brunswick area this summer, you might spot two students paddling along the St. John River, also known as
Wollastook.
S-T-O-Q is Stook?
Yeah, well, that's what we called it growing up. I'm from St. John near there, so.
Well, maybe you're just pronouncing it wrong.
Wollastook. Everybody calls it that, Wollastook.
Maybe they're all pronouncing it wrong. Just because one person's pronouncing it right and the rest of you are pronouncing it wrong.
All those people on TV and radio.
Yeah.
Because there's a park there.
Because one guy started saying it wrong and everybody thought he was right. Could happen. Anyway, St. John River.
Yes.
They aren't just out there for fun. It's their job. Madeline Hodgson and Benjamin Linensari are the first holders of a new summer position with the city of Fredericton. The two are being referred to as river keepers and will spend the summer cleaning up garbage in the river and along the boat launches, as well as taking pictures of some of the sites they visit. I think it's a very rewarding kind of job and opportunity, Hodgson said. I'm kind of interested in photography, and I think it's great to be able to show people what we have accessible. She said the job also involves encouraging good water etiquette, so the pair have been talking to boaters and kayakers who are out on the water. Lynn Ansari said the work is important because it will help to attract more tourists to the area and to keep the river healthy. Personally, in my free time, I love being on the water, and I think it should be something everybody should be able to enjoy, he says. So that's pretty cool. Like, that's something like... So my big thing... I'm about to go on a rant here.
Yeah.
With these self-serve cashiers when I go to the stores.
Yeah.
And it's here, your own personal checkout yourself.
Yep.
And I don't know why I can get invited to the Christmas party, annual Christmas party, because I'm working. So my big thing about that is students are losing their jobs.
Yep.
Right? And at this age, I mean, there's enough bitching and complaining. Well, why don't you teach the kids about finances and in school?
Yeah.
Well, why? Because you've just taken their learning experience of having money, their first bit of money, away from them by making everybody check themselves out.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, not all kids are going to lose their jobs because, but that was one of the things. Like, I remember when we first moved to town here, it was all the high school students work
exactly.
The checkouts.
It doesn't matter where you go, what grocery store. It's either somebody who's just like looking for work again in their 60s because they're bored, or you got a bunch of high school kids going off to university or university kids who are looking for summer work to help pay for tuition.
Right. And with high school students and that, this is how they get their first bit of money. They start to learn how to handle their money, how to, you know, and that, you know, you take your friends to, you know, we're going out for dinner, take somebody to dinner, or you're going to take, you know, the date to the movies and that sort of stuff. It's a social thing. You learn how to handle your money. You can go out and do stuff. And they've taken that away. So something like this, at least for a couple of kids, could replace that sort of thing, right? And we've got enough rivers around here that you could get a... You know, each town, I mean, Pickering could have a couple. We could have a couple. Yep. Bowmanville could have a couple. Oshawa, Whitby. So, I mean, you're getting a bunch of them. And having them go out on the river and talk boaters
to
and
clean
stuff.
Clean up the river.
Yeah,
and,
it's perfect.
And clean up campsites and park areas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all win-win. And it's not a lot of money for municipalities to pay off.
No. A couple of high school students for a summer job?
Yeah. Yeah, you're not breaking
really?
The bank.
No.
And you're employing a kid to do something outdoors.
That needs to be done anyway.
Because
like,
I mean, just watching
the garbage.
Like my kids right now, they're just a few days into their summer vacation. And I said, you guys have to do stuff. You have to hang out with your friends. You have to go do things. Otherwise, I'm going to make work for you. You're going to have chores and jobs.
Right.
So maybe one day these kids will be, when they're old enough for a job, to go out and find something meaningful to do and advance their own lives and careers.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we always spend time outdoors, not sitting in front of a TV, playing video games and such.
It's our generation is the last generation to experience non-social media, pre-social media.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All that interweb.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the downfall.
Mm-hmm.
Way to go, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. It's all your fault.
Yeah, all this stuff. I think it's the death of society.
Yeah. Anyway, Neil Treble, the Trails foreperson for Fredericton, said the positions were created so that there would be people always looking after the river, whether it be picking up debris or ensuring there are garbage cans at the boat launches. He said the students took a paddling course in recent weeks, and each morning the team meets and come up with plan for the day. He said if the weather isn't cooperative, other work always needs doing along the river. I think that these rivers that we have, we want to keep them healthy, and I think it's a great opportunity to bring people together and enjoy the water and take care of them. The job will also include identifying potential new canoe and kayak launch spots, which is really cool. Positions will likely end in September, he said, once the current job holders will be going back to university in the fall. Before then, Hodgson says she hopes to continue providing a clean space for people to enjoy while also learning more about invasive species and the biggest threats to the river and its wildlife. It's been very eye-opening how much wildlife you can see on the water and just how significant you know a little bit of garbage or trash or anything can kind of impact how they live around here, she says. I think it's really important to try and keep everything as clean as possible for wildlife to flourish. If you got a couple of kids out there that are into this sort of thing, then
yeah,
that's perfect.
And helping clean up and
right?
prepare campsites and find launch points.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. I think we need more river keepers. Mm-hmm. This could be a start of
definitely,
a...
Definitely.
Start of a countrywide project. I was bopping around on the internet, as one does, and I found this thing. It was one article led to another, to another, 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 down the rabbit hole, called the Paddler's Code in British canoeing. Have you ever heard of the Paddler's Code?
I've heard about stuff, like at different locations, and like I remember that wasn't when we were back doing stuff with Algonquin Park, we were trying to develop something like that.
Well, that was more etiquette.
Yeah.
Yeah, we always talked about paddling yeah. etiquette.
Yeah.
And a portage etiquette and stuff like that. Yeah. So I came across this thing. Over the UK, they have the Paddler's Code. It has three basic principles. Respect, protect, and enjoy. So under respect, if you need to drive, team up with others to reduce pollution and congestion on roads. Park respectfully. Make sure you do not obstruct narrow roads, gateways, slipways, driveways, or damage grass verges. Leave space for emergency vehicles and respect the local community. Keep group size small and discreet where possible. You know, it's like a giant party group to go going down and all the cars that go with. Unpack equipment and change in a discreet and considerate way. We talked about something a couple years back over there where people were changing at their vehicle. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And people were like just stark naked changing out of their gear across from houses with kids.
What are you doing?
And they're like, what are you guys doing? Like, you don't park at the side of the road across from houses, get naked and change into your dry
exactly,
suit,
right? Yeah, I remember that. That was about 6-8 months ago we talked about that. I think
it's a little bit
older.
Yeah. Use gate styles or gaps in field boundaries when accessing the water. Leave gates as they were found. Avoid climbing over and damaging fences and walls, especially if lifting your craft over them. Give other users plenty of space. Avoid lingering where this might cause a disturbance. And pass other craft by moving to the right-hand side. Be friendly and welcoming and respectful of those you meet along the way. Be nice, say hello, and share space. So that's simple. All respect.
Yeah.
Really, really respectful things to do. It's simple. I'd like to say common sense, but we know anything common about common sense.
Common sense is not common
anymore. Not common. The second one, protect. Be kind to nature. Breeding and nesting seasons are particularly sensitive times for the likes of birds, fish, and mammals, like of otters and seals. Minimize noise and keep a distance. You know, our big one with that is up here is loons, right? When you're seeing the loons, be mindful of where they are, where the nests are. Stay clear.
Don't disturb them.
Don't disturb. Avoid gravel beds in rivers where possible. These may hold precious spawning grounds for fish and other wild species. Disturbance of them can be considered a criminal act. I was thinking of something else that went along with that, because if you're disturbing them and killing off. Remember that one kid went and did something at the fish hatchery, killing off a whole bunch and got charged?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Because even if they're minnows and you're killing you kill 500 minnows.
Yeah.
Those are 500 bigger, potential bigger fish that you've just
eliminated.
And
all those generations following.
Right. Where safe to do so, stick to established paths or bare rock when exploring rapids or rock pools. Banks can be sensitive to erosion or home to vulnerable species. One thing that people don't think about is some animals burrow into the banks.
Yes.
So when you're stomping all over,
you can be... Beavers and otters and you name it.
Muskrats and... avoid dragging or sliding craft on the bank side. Try to float your craft for launching and landing. Always check, clean, and dry your kit after each trip. Inspect for plant fragments and critters. Washing and drying all equipment is key to helping stop spread of invasive non-native species. And I do that sort of thing ever since I was in Algonquin Park years ago with my big beastie of a canoe there, the big green beastie. And I set it down in wild strawberry plants.
Okay.
And I guess when I flipped it back over, I grabbed some of the stuff was in the canoe. And I got home and I put it on my, I used to keep it on a couple of sawhorses out back.
Yep.
And ever since then, I get wild strawberries where those sawhorses
really?
Were. Yep. Yep.
Huh.
So that just shows how easy it is to spread something. Hmm. And yeah, they spread along the backyard fence.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. And that's exactly, there's the big, like 16-foot section of lawn.
Yeah.
And about 4 feet wide now is all these, and you get these tiny little red strawberries.
Yeah.
I don't mind. They're strawberries, but they could have been something else. And it could actually go the other way as well.
Yep,
as in
exactly.
Something from here
something
goes
something invasive here gets
there.
Spread into Algonquin.
Yeah. So that's all under their protect. Enjoy. Be prepared. Always wear a buoyancy aid and always carry a means of contacting the emergency services on your person. So that's the keep it on your. That's why I keep my phone in that in my spot.
Yeah,
attached
to life jacket.
Because if something happens, you got that. It's not in your boat floating away or sinking to the bottom of a lake. Check your craft and equipment before setting out. If paddling a stand up paddleboard, ensure you have the appropriate leash for the environment. Plan your adventure. The weather can change rapidly due to rain, wind, or tide. Check river levels and avoid offshore winds. A lot of, not a lot, but there's some things in here that here in Ontario we don't have to worry about, like tides.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. Ensure you are equipped for the trip and that is within the capabilities of you and your group.
There you go.
Now, the one thing I will say when it comes to stuff like this, when Alan Drummond is organizing a kayaking trip somewhere.
Oh, yes.
He will always make sure you have the right equipment, the right type of kayak. Like if they're going way offshore, a couple miles offshore, if you got a sit on top little recreational thing, he'll tell you right off the bat, and that is not
invited
for this kind of trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not trying to be rude, but safety dictates.
Yeah, they don't need to change a trip into a rescue, right?
Yeah. So, you know, make sure you're equipped for the trip that is within your capabilities of you and your group. Be aware of potential hazards such as weirs, overhanging trees, and tidal waters. Look out for warning signs. Yeah, and I mean, when we're going down the especially in the spring, you're going down the rivers, you're looking for like the sweepers and everything like that, right? Bacteria, viruses, and toxic algae may be present in some water. Generally, if the water looks or smells bad, do not enter. Report incidents of pollution to the Environment Agency as soon as possible. And we had the blue and green algae blooms in Algonquin Park over the last
6-7 years
now. Leave no trace. Take only photographs. Leave only ripples, which is a bit different than the take only photographs,
leave only
footprints.
Yes.
Right? I do like this one. Leave only ripples. I don't think I've ever heard that before. Having the correct waterways license helps to preserve our precious rivers and canals. Now, that we don't require.
No.
Here.
No.
But
this is Europe. This is England.
Always follow your countryside code. England, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland. they have different pages for each of these with different codes, right?
Yeah.
So if you go to the Paddler's Code website, it'll have at the bottom, it'll have all this stuff. It'll have at the bottom a link to each of the countryside codes that you can click on. There's also downloadable posters with all this information on them. So you can download that, and if you wanted to show people or make your own sort of thing, saying, hey, you know what, this is a great idea they're doing over there. We should do something like this over here.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So you can see that sort of stuff there. Paddlerscode.info, I-N-F-O, for more information and to see all this stuff I was talking about. It sounds pretty cool. It sounds like something that a lot of...
Now, we have something similar with the Leave No Trace principles here in Canada and so on, but we don't have a water
code of... No, what we have is more generic for outdoorsy people.
And of course, I'm sure there's lots of parks and locales like, you know, Friends of Algonquin, Friends of Clarion. I'm sure they have their own little codes that they print up and they talk about.
Yeah, but we don't have anything.
This one sounds more formal.
I think we would do something if we were following this sort of thing would be province related.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Especially since provinces have different sort of
exactly
water usages and amounts and types and stuff like that, right? Because something that's happening in Ontario isn't necessarily happening in BC.
Exactly.
Where they've got the tidal waters and stuff to watch out for. Yeah. And we've just got big tankers like Ontario. Yeah. So, paddlerscode.info. Go check that out and see what all you can learn. And maybe, it's pretty cool to see that sort of thing. That is all I got. You got anything else?
I do not.
That was a fast fast hour today. Hot diggity. We got to go do more things now. I'm just continuing on with what I'm doing, and work's busy and home's busy, and I definitely got to take some time out and go do some paddling.
We should do some quick weekend trips.
Right?
We need to get out and do that.
We got to kidnap Kevin Callan, take him somewhere.
Oh, there you go.
Right?
That'd be a blast.
Wouldn't it? Well, maybe not for him, being rolled up in a carpet and thrown into a boat and hauled off somewhere. Well, he'd bring an Angel, his dog.
Yeah.
She could just ride with us, exactly. Not rolled up in a carpet. All righty. Well, if you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. You can download or stream episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or you can just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com and you can download or stream all our episodes there. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with your friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.